the Premier League on OTB.
Young Min Son, who needs Harry Kane when you've got Young Min Son?
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
You know, that wasn't an All-Ireland winning performance.
Probably should have won the game based on their second half performance.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
OTBAN's performance rankings with Gillette.
I'm scratching my head. Our performances was just lacked that intensity.
Ooh.
Yeah, the bad, the good, the grand is where we go first thing on a Monday morning. We will get to the good. Do not worry, Tyrone people. We will get to Tyrone because there is a lot of good things that need to be said about Tyrone eventually. But such is the nature of this that we necessarily start with the bad, and naturally what we've got Kerry and Arsenal in the bad, we've got Mayo in the grand, which we'll explain in a moment, the transfers, and Tyrone in the green. So Kerry, obviously a bit of a complete disaster, to be honest, this entire season, when it comes down to a moment like that, when a team is so favoured to win and the team itself probably couldn't handle that level of expectation, and I'm not sure even what the correct reason is for a no-show in certain areas from Kerry on Saturday. Is it complacency? Is it arrogance? Is it a lack of bottle? I'm not sure what it is, but I suspect it's one of those three things at least. It could be a combination of a few of them.
Maybe it's none of those things. Okay. Maybe it's none of those things, right? Maybe we're massively overreacting to a game in which they lost by a point at the end of extra time. Maybe it's the five-week layoff. If you think back to a couple of years ago in hurling, it was generally considered to be a bit of a disaster to be the provincial champions because it was a 3 or 4 year period where the 5 week layoff led to the provincial champions being ambushed by a team who had played 2 or 3 games in the intervening period. It turns out sports people, elite sports people, like to play matches. They get all of their little kinks ironed out. They get all of the partnerships built up. They learn more. They get stuff down on tape. They build your favourite momentum, confidence. And I think that there's like a massive aspect of this that is going to be completely lost in the shuffle is that, okay, definitely not lost in the shuffle is that Tyrone managed to get a couple of extra weeks to get everybody well again. I think that is definitely, that has become a talking point. Fair enough, right? But the impact of that on Kerry is like Kerry saying they can't complain about it. You know, fair enough. We prepared for 3 weeks and then 4 weeks. And then 5 weeks, and loads of players came off a high. Like, and it might just be as simple as that. And I feel a little bit of sympathy with Peter Keane in that he's had essentially a new young team arrive to an All Ireland final, and immediately afterwards, COVID steals 18 months of your and potentially the final 18 months of your tenure. So I don't know. Look, blame all the things that you want to blame, and I'm here for it. I'm definitely going to listen to it. I might even encourage a little bit of it, but I do think that fundamentally that 5 week break, that was a deal breaker for them, whereas actually from Tyrone's perspective what it allowed them to do was to get right. And I understand they obviously had a similar break, and you know, same for both teams, but actually in that instance it isn't the same for both teams because Tyrone were Lazarus coming back from the dead, and everybody else is sitting there waiting for the dead man to arrive, and it turns out he's a pretty good zombie.
I hear what you're saying, and I think in isolation it is relatively acceptable to come to the table with those excuses, but I think excuses are kind of for the other semi-final. I think excuses are valid if you're Dublin and you've won 6 All-Irelands in a row. I think you can get away with a few excuses if you've got that credit in the bank. But Kerry, what we need to do is we need to zoom out and look at everything that they've done since winning their last All-Irelands. Like, this is the longest drought, for example, that Kerry have gone without an All-Ireland in my lifetime. It's the third longest, I think, of all time. So it is, there will be questions on that level asked. The F word, the word famine, will be thrown around over this next little while about a lack of success since then. But what you've got to look at is all the events between 2014 and now. And yes, in isolation, what you're saying makes sense. But what you were saying in isolation last year, not you, but what one could have said last year in isolation after the Cork game was, oh, it was a wet day and there was a pandemic in 2019. It was, oh, if they don't lose the ball there, if David Moran doesn't bring the ball into the tackle, God, they've taken down the best team of all time. 17, it's like, oh, if Barry John Keane doesn't kick the ball to himself, they beat Mayo in the first game. Should have, could have, would have been the preserve of Kerry, it seems, for the last 7, 8 years. And all these things clock up to something more than bad luck at this point. You can't just constantly not get the rub of the green. Sometimes the bounce of the ball has to go your way eventually, that I'm starting to think that actually this team isn't as mentally prepared as it should be, or in a mentally strong place as it possibly should be.
Okay, so zoom out from that, right? Why is that? Why are they not as prepared? Why are they not? Because the Munster Championship is rubbish. Because there's no preparation for when you get to these big games, because everybody else is playing Division 1 opposition. Even over the last decade, Mayo have had to beat Galway, and Galway have been coming and going and coming and going and coming and going and putting a team together. But if Cork had at any point over that last decade been a team that was credible contenders for that, then they might have had to prepare for a month earlier and be... I hope Kerry don't lick their wounds and decide, right, we're going to be massive agents to try and keep the provincial structure the way it is, because it's handy for us to get to an All-Ireland quarterfinal or wherever the new structure is going to take us if the provincial championships stay. You would think that they would be one of the counties who would benefit the most. Significant home advantage in Killarney for big games, the ability to travel, a style of play that is not reliant on home or away, like a team of relatively young players who will benefit from more games. You know, again, I think you're right that there are definitely some fundamental issues, but I think they're structural as opposed to this team having some mental frailty that is peculiar to them.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's like an embedded mental frailty whatsoever. I don't think that the players are mentally frail. I just don't think they're as mentally well prepared as some of the other players around the country, that they can have such a systems failure up front. The decision making was so bad. It's such a strange way for the game to have been lost, that I actually thought, people will probably disagree with me on this, I actually thought the Kerry backs did quite well on Saturday. I thought the Kerry full back line had a really good day out. I know Conor McKenna scores two goals, but if we judge everything on scores, we're not going to get a full picture of how the opposite men played, and I thought the Kerry full back line did well. If you told me before today that the Kerry full back line would have a good day, I'd have thought the Kerry would have won easy. If you told me that Niall Morgan's kickouts had little to no effect on Tyrone's attacking plan, I would have said Kerry would have won even easier. So it comes down to a complete lack of decision making in the correct sense up front, when we've got used to teams in both codes at the moment making correct decisions, doing things right under pressure. When the pressure is turned up on this Kerry team, their decisions tend to get worse. And now that is the same for everybody in all walks of life. Nobody likes pressure. But it does seem that Kerry are more affected by pressure than a number of other teams. There is a danger that we totally write off this group of players. I think it's a fantastic bunch of players. But that is why the criticism is going to be so harsh, because this group of players is absolutely good enough to win in All-Ireland. And the reason you talk about there, the provincial championships, I know we cannot put this Kerry team in the same ballpark as the great Dublin team at all, but Dublin could also have pointed to not being road tested coming out of their province at any point over the last little while. You're right, it's no coincidence that the last year Kerry made it to an All-Ireland, they had a sticky enough Super 8s group where they had to play Mayo and they had to play Donegal, and they ended up racking up a little bit of momentum, and I think that road tested them a little bit for that game against Tyrone in 19, which to my mind I thought was a turning point, because Kerry had done this thing which they hadn't really done for a while, which was win a tight game in Croke Park. And this is something that goes back a long time, and it goes back even to the 2000s. When Kerry win their All-Irelands, they win well. When Kerry are on song, they're beautiful to watch and are poetic, and they can hammer a team, they can destroy a team. But when things get tight, and when there's 60 minutes gone and you still don't know who's going to win the match, are you backing Kerry or are you backing against Kerry? I think you're backing against Kerry at the moment. And that is a problem. That is a trend that we're seeing. That is not an aberration of this year. That is something that we've seen repeatedly over the last few years. And unless that changes, then this golden generation is going to become a wasted generation. Because what is the acceptable tally for this group of players at the moment? I actually don't know, and I actually don't really care about that question at the moment. All I care about is this Kerry team actually going to be good enough to get one All-Ireland? And for me, you are not going to get that one with how competitive this game is going to become over the next decade, unless you manage to start winning these tight games. And unfortunately, the 19 semi-final against Tyrone now looks like the exception to the rule, when I thought and I fully believed that that was proof that they were finally going to come good in these big games in Croke Park when things were tight. When things are tight in Croke Park, Kerry lose.
That might be one of the longer tail repercussions of the game at the weekend, is that the next time these two sides meet in Croke Park, Tyrone are going to feel pretty confident.
Correct, yeah.
The the Tyrone DNA is back, and they are going to be looking at Kerry from months out in future going, yep, we can do that. And again, I make the point that it was like on a knife edge completely. If Kerry had won that game in normal time, everybody would have said, wow, Kerry really looked like they were a bit ring rusty. Some of that decision making, they're going to have to improve that for the final, but the game's in 2 weeks' time, so they're going to be able to, you know, ride from this into that. And that didn't happen, so they go and everything becomes magnified in defeat. But that long tail is definitely the other side of this, and also the fact that Mayo are going to be a team because they're festooned with young talent, and the Dubs aren't going to go anywhere as well. So suddenly you're, how many All-Irelands are this Kerry side going to win versus are they going to win one, becomes a very compelling story. Are Kerry the new Mayo? Is that what we're saying?
Like, it did come in, they're not the new Mayo. Mayo, I'm not for one second ever going to do Mayo people a disservice by saying that the level of pain is the exact same, because it's not. But in isolation over the last 8 years now at this stage, there have been a number of Mayo-esque occurrences, that all these bad luck events in big games that Kerry are involved in tended to go against Kerry, and that has always been the way with Mayo up until this year's semi-final, it seemed, against Dublin. And I think that they will get over the line in this year's final. That may be kiss of death stuff there for Mayo, but it does feel Mayo-esque in the way Kerry have lost a few games, and for me that is the biggest problem. Now, like, there has already been enough talk about the manager and the management and what happens over these next few months. Like, it is going to be very interesting to see what decision is made on that front about whether or not they do get rid of Peter Keane, because it's just so unfortunate that this is now a real debate now. It would have been great if Peter Keane had got this team over the All-Ireland and got another year out of his management tenure, because in about 2 years' time, I reckon we would have a much clearer idea of who the next Kerry manager might be. Because I haven't been involved in the Armagh setup. I haven't been involved in the Kerry under 21 setup or Nemo Rangers or whatever. I don't know who is the best pick out of that generation of great footballers, from Donaghy to Declan O'Sullivan to Tomás O'Shea. Who actually is the best manager of that lot? I'm not sure how you actually find out who is going to be best placed to be Peter Keane's successor at this point. So yes, there are a load of names in the hat for his successor, and it seems like it's a good time to get a change of management. And I agree with that potentially, but it's very hard to find out who the best man for the job is.
So you don't see any way in which Peter Keane is still the Kerry manager next year?
I do. I absolutely see a way where Peter Keane is the manager next year. I don't think it's a done thing that he's gone. It seems to be written that he can't possibly stay. Like, I'm not necessarily convinced that he is going to be pushed. I think that there will be a number of testimonies from the players, and whether or not they believe in what he's doing. Like, there was a couple of unfortunate situations from his perspective over the last little while. Not unfortunate, but like from the off, there was a slight tension there where he was told he had to take Donny Buckley as part of his backroom team last year. Donny Buckley walked, or he was pushed. Something happened and something didn't go right. There has been a simmering unease about that backroom team at times, not all the time, at times over the last couple of years. That simmering unease is still there, and it hasn't led to the whole collapse of the management team just yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if he manages to ride this out. There's going to be a change at the top of the county board this year as well. There'll be a new chairman. I know the current chairman obviously would have given Peter Keane his full backing over the last few years. So maybe when that changes, the backing for Keane leaves. But I wouldn't be surprised if there was one more year for Peter Keane. Personally, I think that 2019, they pushed the greatest team of all time so close, and maybe after that there was a sense that it was only a matter of time before Keane and this bunch of players got over the line, and maybe that crept in arrogance-wise over the last little while. And that, for me, is an unforgivable sin as a manager, and not building on what he did in 19, I think is a bad reflection on that management for sure. And I can definitely see it being the right decision that he doesn't get another year for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Okay, and you say you don't know who is best amongst that group. Is there any possibility of some kind of dream team? I mean, you look across the sideline and it's like, Tyrone seemed to have managed the whole joint managers thing, and you know, it's too big a job for one individual. It turns out, like, in many cases it is actually too big a job, and the size of the backroom team needs managing. The difference in attacking and defending needs discussion at least, and somebody has to be responsible for that. Is there a possibility of some kind of Kerry dream team?
Yeah, like I think that Logan and Duher, I mean, we can't just like point to joint managers and say there's two to a minute, therefore it is working. But absolutely, it could be the way forward. What I will say is that Logan and Duher have been a dream team for some time and obviously have an under-21 All-Ireland under their belts, and they managed to bring that management prowess to senior level. There isn't a duo actually operating at underage level for Kerry, for example, so it would have to be manufactured, and I'm not sure if that's necessarily how these great duos tend to work. Like, you look at other scenarios, like even with the Mayo football situation, the Clare hurling situation down through the last 5 or 6 years, as far as I'm aware, pretty much all those duos were duos at underage level or coaching at underage level, and then were just transferred up to the top and it worked. So I'm not sure Kerry actually have that ready to go.
All right, and Donny Buckley, is there a possibility that he could be a manager? Like, or maybe he's just the Paul Kinnerk figure to somebody else's management. So that's your dream team, is that you coax him back from Monaghan, where, you know, things went pretty well.
Yeah, like I don't think he's a manager, but I think that he's absolutely a trainer who should be on, who seemed like he should be on the dream ticket for Kerry because of his track record and, again, all the evidence that you're hearing from people who've worked with him behind the scenes, even in Mayo. So I would say that he should be part of the thought process when it comes to a new management, but that was the way Kerry thought last time, and they tried to fit a management team around Donny Buckley, and Peter Keane maybe wasn't really interested in that. So I don't know, like Donny Buckley did manage, was part of the ticket in 2019, which you have to say at this point, if this is going to be the end of the Peter Keane reign, you have to say it was the high point of the Peter Keane reign. I know they've won leagues and Munster championships, but getting that Dublin team to a replay was definitely the high point, and Buckley was part of that backroom team. So his stock is quite high at the moment, to say the least. But it's very hard to know how they're actually going to determine who the best successor is. One thing that actually has become apparent, everything kind of runs through your head after a bad defeat like that, or watching Kerry suffer a bad defeat like that, and watching the teams that they get beaten by. The lack of under 20 success for Kerry might be a reason why things haven't gone so well at senior level. I think it's a bit of straw clutching if we're looking for reasons. But my thought process is this. My thought process is that what we're going to see in the All-Ireland football final this year are two former under-21 All-Ireland champions going toe-to-toe. Like, Mayo and Tyrone haven't come from nowhere. Yes, Kerry have the headline-grabbing five-in-a-row minor team, and they've got David Clifford and Sean O'Shea. But Tyrone won an under-21 All-Ireland, and Mayo won the 21 All-Ireland the year after Tyrone won it. And I think Dublin are the most recent winners of the 21s then after that. So to win that All-Ireland is a really good barometer for success, and minor All-Irelands aren't really a barometer for success. Yes, Kerry have fast-tracked the likes of Clifford and O'Shea into senior level rather than allowing them to play 20s or 21s. But they would have won the minor All-Irelands without O'Shea and David Clifford. Such were the hammerings they dished out to teams. So whatever is happening between minor and 20s, something is going awry. It shouldn't be going awry to the point where the senior team is suffering now, and the backbone of that team is now from those minor teams. Those players have come through and continue to come through. But it's just one thing that did come to mind, that the 20s is a really good barometer for success. And if you're not going well at 20s, that's a much bigger concern if things aren't going well at minor.
Even the move from 21 to 20, though, as far as I know, both... Did they both win 21s? Certainly, I think Tyrone won a 21 as opposed to...
Sorry, they were both 21s. Yeah. Sorry, which is obviously an even bigger...
And so it's going to be interesting to see if the 20s is as good a barometer in years to come. Okay, so Kerry are in the red. A few quick comments on this. Will says, how many years have we heard that this Kerry side are coming? If this loss proves anything, it proves that this Kerry side will never be as dominant as the Dubs were over the last decade. Mm. I mean, I think nobody's ever going to be as dominant. Maybe Dublin will have another clutch of superstars coming through at that level and be as dominant. I still expect Dublin to win one out of every three, potentially eight out of every 11 or 12 over the next decade and a half. Richie says, I'm here for the Kerry Mafia. Shane says, all in caps, well, 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 Sheehan. Well, well, well. Kerry still should have won. Some really poor errors in the forward, says Alan. Like, you know, if the ball doesn't get scooched over to
Stephen O'Brien,
if it just gets like rolled down the left foot and trickled into the corner, that's a goal. Stephen O'Brien being in the square doesn't matter; it's irrelevant. And then I don't know, when that went in and was called back, it was clear Kerry are going to either take this as an omen, or they're going to be like, "Oh, look, we're creating goal chances." Unfortunately, they seem to take it as an omen. Oh, not our day. That's it. It's written in the stars, as opposed to look at all the goal chances we're creating. We're creating loads and loads of chances here. A few more, either a few less passes or a few more passes in some instances. Just a little bit less white line fever, and we'll be okay. But there wasn't enough leadership, and maybe that's a maturity, maybe that's an age thing, I don't know.
And also, fitness. Kerry looked like they were flying earlier this year. They came back bigger and stronger and looked like they could out-muscle every team in the country. And forget about being out-muscled on Saturday. Like, they were out-fitnessed by Tyrone. And Kerry were the players, Kerry were the team that had the players cramping up, which was astonishing. And there have to be questions asked on that level as well, that they just completely got the whole five-week build-up wrong. The tapering off or tapering up or whatever you want to call it. It's just
hard
not done
to do.
Right. It is hard to do. Don't get me wrong. But it was another thing that we didn't see coming with regards to the prediction of this game. I'm sure there are people out there who thought Tyrone were going to win. And there was a lot of nervous Kerry people. But the way in which they won, I think, is what was most stunning. Just like the other semi-final.
Every Monday morning on OTBM, we give you the chance to win a Gillette starter pack. All you got to do to enter is get in touch with your suggestions about who should be in the where in the performance ranking, who should be in the red, who should be in the amber, and who should be in the green. Our second red this morning is our... Keep your comments coming, by the way. We're going to stitch these in. We're going to torment poor Owen between now and essentially Kerry's next All-Ireland victory, which who knows how long that's going to be. So, you know, it's our new blood sport here. Arsenal also in the red this morning. I mean, this is getting a bit too easy, right? We're not going to spend too long on this.
No, we'll just quickly... Like, this is not a surprise, really, is it? Even with 11 men on the pitch, Arsenal getting smashed 5-0 by a good team is sort of par for the course at this point. Manchester City were obviously awesome on Saturday afternoon, but once Granit Xhaka gets sent off... Well, once Arsenal take to the pitch, there's a chance that Granit Xhaka gets sent off. And once Granit Xhaka gets sent off, there's a chance that Arsenal gets smashed. And that's exactly what happened. I think City ended up with 81% possession overall. I think Arsenal had one shot on target. It was a pathetic performance, even in the context of them being a man down against the Premier League champions. And Arteta afterwards saying that it's time to reflect and look in the mirror and try and change the dynamic. He says, I would not be sitting here if I didn't believe I was the man for the job. But most worrying, Pep Guardiola said he is definitely the right man for the job. Please keep sending Mikel Arteta to the Etihad Stadium. Yes, he might be my buddy, but he should definitely keep his job, and he is definitely going to become a good manager. Just give him another few months.
I don't buy end of his point on the Paddy Power half hour every Friday is that they're a mid-table team now. I think that if you put Conte in, you could see a Tuchel-style turnaround. I think there's enough good players there. I think that like they actually had the bones of a good team. So Aubameyang looked fit midweek when they beat West Brom in the League Cup game. West Brom's B team, by the way. And so if he is fit and is going to play this season to try and get a similar contract somewhere, one last 3 or 4 year deal from somebody, you know, if you were to have Antonio Conte manage that team, somebody who was clearly an adult in the room, who isn't learning on the job, there's enough really talented players there. Like, I mean, Smith Rowe is really good.
I agree. Like, I mean, you talk about Smith Rowe and Saka, they're just destined to become £100 million signings for a top six club at the moment, because I wouldn't have Arsenal as a top six club at the moment. But I'd agree to a point that there is still residual Champions League signings in that squad. Players who joined the club because they thought that there was a good chance of them playing in the top tier of European football. And you kind of need to strike now to ensure that you maybe get back to the Europa League at least over the next couple of seasons and try and build from there. So they need to do something fast, I think.
That's the key, isn't it? It's like they sat on their hands with Wenger for so long that actually sitting on their hands now with Arteta, they've decided that they were going to back him this year. They gave him so much money that it feels like it would be a very reactionary decision. But surely they're spending that money on players who they know would be of interest to the next manager as well, and that what's more important is actually having an adult in the room.
Yeah, and it does kind of feel that even strategically there is some sort of plan in the transfer market, that they have signed a certain type of player, well, a certain age of player over the last little while. I still find it astonishing that they spent £150 million on central midfielders and defenders, centre-backs alone, and there has been no notable improvement in that area. Granted, this season has been very stop-start in terms of fitness for a number of those players in particular. So maybe we'll see some uptick on that front. But if Antonio Conte is ready, it's no disrespect to Mikel Arteta, but you have to go get Antonio Conte if your vision fits his. But I fear that that's not the case whatsoever. I'm not necessarily sure Arsenal is a club that Conte will want to come into because of the structures in place above him that will dictate to him who he is signing and what direction the club is going. Conte feels like a bit of a dominant force. I'm not sure Arsenal are ready for a manager to be a dominant force just yet. The thing is, the results get so bad and sometimes you just have to lay on your sword.
Yeah, it's exactly what they need, it feels like, at this stage. Okay, so Arsenal are in the red. The level of competition in Munster is no excuse. The Leinster Championship is worse than Munster, and Dubs were still able to close it out. Yeah, but the Leinster Championship wasn't crap when Dublin came through, you still had that McGeaney team pushing the Dubs to get to the level where they were reaching a lot in semi-finals, and that Dublin team had Brogan and Connolly and Flynn and a bunch of the two Brogans. That was the team that learned how to win, and once they learned how to win, then it becomes pretty easy. I think the best case scenario for Kerry would have been to win the All-Ireland this year and then keep the Munster Championship the way it is. Like, absolutely. So you got to peak for whatever tournament is after the Munster Championship. That is dream scenario when you have a team who knows how to win. But what we're saying is that this Kerry team don't know how to win, and whatever's happening in the last 10 minutes of games, they're completely incapable of closing it out because they're not in, and there's no practice of them doing that, and there's no confidence that the team has from being a winning team. At the moment, they're a team who are essentially losers. Deller says, Kerry don't win battles. Ray says, even as a fellow Gooner, the thought of Owen watching his beloved Arsenal losing 5-0 to City and thinking to himself that he's Kerry will win later is so poetic. And Shane says, should the Glazers not be included in the green? Getting Ronaldo back to Old Trafford is a massive win for them. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're not at the green just yet. So Mayo, what are Mayo doing? Why are they in the amber? What's going on here?
Well, I think that there was a sense that Mayo had beautifully handled the underdogs tag going into the Dublin game, and they will have felt over the last couple of weeks that they could do the exact same thing once they come up against Kerry in an All-Ireland final. And I don't know, there was definitely... it's no secret, Kerry people got carried away with themselves and thought they were going to win against Tyrone, no question about it. And thought it started to turn towards what would it be like to be on the receiving end of Mayo winning the All-Ireland, and it's not a pretty thought. I actually think that now the tails have turned considerably on that whole prospect, and it just feels that either of these teams are coming in for the ambush, and that Tyrone, I guess there's a bit more of an unknown quantity about them, and Mayo are not underdogs anymore for this All-Ireland final. And
literally, they are not the underdogs. They are 1-point favourites for this.
Now, the thing is, I think it's Andy Moran who's made this point on the Football Pod. Like, how far back do you have to go to find an All-Ireland final that Mayo were actually favourites for? When you look at all those finals that they've lost individually, in fairness to them, they were outsiders when you look at the bookmakers, at least. So they have lost the finals they've been expected to lose. So expectation hasn't traditionally been the problem for Mayo. It's just been they've come up against better teams on the day. So maybe they handled this perfectly fine. But the way this Mayo team are playing, the makeup of this Mayo team, I felt that they would have been beautifully suited to taking on Kerry in an All-Ireland final and being the underdogs in the All-Ireland final. And I think playing Tyrone is just a precarious position for any county in Ireland to be playing anyway. But I just feel particularly... I would feel particularly edgy if I was a Mayo fan. I'm sure James Horne and Kieran MacDonald, who apparently popped up on television quite a bit over the course of the weekend, they'll have no problems and they'll have a game plan for this Tyrone team. But I would be surprised if they weren't prepping for Kerry up until last Saturday.
This story could be entirely apocryphal, I'm not sure. But I definitely heard from somebody over the weekend that somebody in the Mayo camp was like, yeah, we definitely would prefer to have Kerry. We know exactly what's going to come from them. No idea what Tyrone are going to throw at us, because I mean, that point about Tyrone's transition players, any of them can do the same job, and any of them, it seems, are comfortable being in any position from 5 to 15. And at that point, all of a sudden, it's like this rolling ball of knives that you're facing, and death by a thousand cuts is definitely on the plate for Mayo. So I think the game's 50-50. Tyrone are 11-8, Mayo are 6-5 on. I think that should be I don't know, they should be the same price, essentially, is what I'm saying. Right, so transfers in the green.
Yeah, just a quick mention here, you can put the Glazers in here if you want in terms of the transfers, but like, what a incredible window it was. And is it over yet?
No.
I don't even know. And
no.
It just feels that like last Friday was just this insane day where we had Sam Lee on ODBAM here on Friday previewing what Manchester City were going to look like with Cristiano Ronaldo and the team. And whatever happened, the deal on their end fell through. And it was either Ronaldo in Manchester City, Juventus in Manchester City. Something didn't go right.
And are we sure this isn't Alexis Sanchez all over again where they're just... Putting up the price, and then Manchester United's wage structure is completely blown up, and they sign a player they don't really need, who isn't the same player that we all remembered from his peak.
I mean, it's something that definitely came to mind myself. The sort of will this actually work out well for Manchester United? I think the key difference in these two scenarios, and I know this is very much hammed up with hindsight, the key difference is that Alexis Sanchez is not the player that Cristiano Ronaldo is. Now, at the time, Alexis Sanchez looked amazing. He looked like one of the best players in the league. And obviously, he just had a massive nosedive in form, which has actually been franked since he's moved abroad as well. His talent seemed to have disowned him, really. Whereas Cristiano Ronaldo, everywhere he's gone, he's been successful. I know Juventus weren't successful last season at all, and Juventus's best performances in the Champions League came before Ronaldo joined the club. But as an individual, he's been playing really, really well. His figures have been outstanding. He is such a big presence, such a big figure. It will upset the rhythm of the team. It will upset the chemistry in some way. Maybe not upset, disrupt the chemistry of the team in some way. That could have a greater outcome for Manchester United, and they could be a better team for it, but it will disrupt something. Somebody's going to get less minutes. Bruno Fernandes will be less influential when it comes to his goals and figures.
He's taking the penalties.
There you go.
Who?
I think Fernandes continues to take them.
Do you?
I started saying that sentence, and then in my head I'm like, Ronaldo standing outside the box while a penalty's being taken. I don't know is the honest answer to that question. Fernandes obviously has the duties right now, and he's brilliant at them. He misses one and Ronaldo takes them forever. Ronaldo's such a good penalty taker too, and it's going to be a very interesting dynamic the first time that comes up. United in the not too distant past have had little tiffs over penalties, and a Pogba and Rashford at the start of the season 2 years ago who couldn't agree to take the penalty, but then Fernandes came in and just put his stamp on things.
Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison at the weekend. Yeah. By the way, just apropos of nothing here, as Seamus Coleman wins the penalty and goes over and grabs his leg, I was like, because I'd been watching the game and enjoyed a few light ales afterwards and hadn't paid any attention. I was like, he looked really badly injured. He was like gesturing really quickly, and then he played the full game. He got up and finished the game out, but I was like, that would have been the most Stephen Kenny thing ever to happen. He's playing really, really well, like bursting through, all his pace is back, and going over. And so I'm just waiting for the little dispatch that says something's tweaked, we're going to keep him out of this next international window. So fingers crossed that doesn't happen. And anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the Ronaldo point. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the chemistry of the team is.
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. I think everybody's like this. Do you remember it's that video, that interview where they're talking about the signings that they've made, and it's like, oh, people are going to look at Schweinsteiger and the team sheet and go, oof. It's like, is this not exactly the same signing? Is this not the Schweinsteiger and all those other washed up has-beens?
But he's not washed up as a thing.
Is he not?
He's old. He's definitely old.
But at what point does he become washed up? Like, are you the one who's paying him 25 million next year for his washed up season? You're definitely, you run the risk of that being the case.
I don't think there will be a washed up occurrence in Ronaldo's lifespan. I think it'll happen gradually, and I think it'll just be time going undefeated once again. I think right now he's in incredible shape and he's scoring a lot of goals, and he will add goals to that Manchester United setup.
Because the goals isn't the issue at the moment, is it?
No, it's a fair point. How does that then kind of manifest in the rest of the team when you have a player who, I don't know, if he's your centre forward, does he get away with getting off lightly without doing too many pressing duties, for example, as opposed to, say, a Mason Greenwood if he was to be in the nine role? Maybe, but I think actually what this is like an upgrade on Edinson Cavani more than anything else, rather than something that will disrupt things in a negative way. I think it'll definitely change the way this Manchester United team play and the focus of this team. But I think there's a chance that the outcome could be positive. But I still think that could be the case, and Manchester United might not be in the title race come the end of the season. And Wayne Rooney was making the point yesterday that Solskjaer needs to be winning titles now, that this Ronaldo signing really means that he needs to be winning titles. And it's such a stunning signing as well, that it does increase the pressure a little bit on Solskjaer to a point where it's like, they signed Ronaldo and they couldn't even win the league. Like, he may not even have that much of an impact in terms of them getting towards the league, and maybe a signing like that shouldn't have that sort of impact. But that's not how it's going to be viewed. It's such a stunning signing that it will heap pressure on United, and they have to do something this season now that they have him back.
Okay. All right, what's next?
So that's the transfer window. And then last up, obviously, save the best for last from the weekend, Tyrone. This was an incredible performance from Tyrone on Saturday. And again, it kind of happened in a way that we actually didn't really see coming. We thought that, okay, now the full forward line came away. I think they all scored. Conor McKenna scored two goals. We thought that they would maybe dominate Kerry's full back line in a different way. We thought that Tyrone might go a little bit more direct and that full forward line would feast on the poor Kerry full backs, and that didn't happen at all. It all happened in a very different way. It was the hard running game, in fairness, which a lot of people would have predicted before the game, which served them best. But even things like Niall Morgan's kickouts didn't necessarily go to plan or didn't go as well as they would have hoped. Niall Morgan's kicking from range, though, was absolutely sensational. It was just incredible balls of steel stuff from him to nail a couple of those kicks and to keep Tyrone with their noses in front throughout the game. Like, there's always a bit of spookiness around Brian Duher, no matter who he comes up against, because he was just such a winner as a player. And you can tell that even just 1 year in, he has passed that baton on to the players, where there is a real bravery about this Tyrone team now. And
yeah, I definitely don't think that this is it. There's no way that Mickey Hart's team was going to be able to do this, because they've transformed what they're trying to do. There's just a completely different ambition around what the side are doing. Like, it needed the injection of Duher and Logan, whatever their alchemy is. It's like, it's not that this team was coming anyway, I don't believe. I think that this result is actually an indictment of the last couple of years of how Tyrone had lacked the ambition that this team seems to have when they are in possession.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, maybe this is a different prospect altogether if maybe they were in charge in 2018 for that year's All-Ireland final. But yeah, they're a completely different beast at this point. And like, I mean, it's just ridiculous how incredibly fit they were on Saturday. And that's nothing to do with the COVID situation. It's just to outdo Kerry on that level, like, I think was kind of stunning as well, because Kerry would have felt that they would have had that bit off. They would have felt that bit was fine, and it was just the waiting game. But Tyrone were flying, and they just won so many one-to-one battles. And that back six are a ferocious unit. They will suffocate Mayo. Like, Mayo's running game is far more shrewd than anything else that Tyrone would have come up against, though, and there's far more wily veterans that will be able to try and punch holes in that defence. In many ways, what Tyrone saw coming from Kerry was running down blind alleys at times, and that's exactly what happened. And Tyrone encouraged that, and they deserve full praise for how they managed to handle it. They've also got a squad now as well, which is something that you can back when things go to distance. And I think that's the case for both of these finalists. They both won games after extra time, and both of their benches before the game, you'd have been like, nah. And then after the game, you're like, right, these guys have arrived, and these guys are real championship players. It's going to be like, have Tyrone and Mayo ever met in an All-Ireland before? Like, it's brilliant to have this novel pairing that right on the back of the six in a row, we've like a really unique All-Ireland final. And Enda McGinley was on the show last week saying we're entering a really exciting period of Gaelic football.
The revolution years.
Yeah, that period is now. We are here because we've got a Mayo versus Tyrone All-Ireland football final. And as much as it pains me to say it, it is good for the game that this is the pairing that we have this year.
Okay. You're making Tyrone slight favourites, are you? Or are we going to wait and see exactly how?
Yeah, let's wait and see. Let's wait for the dust to settle on this feeling that we all have about Tyrone, because I did feel that there was a huge kind of wave of reaction to Mayo when they beat Dublin, where it was like, oh, they can't possibly be beaten by whoever comes through the other side. Now it feels that everybody's saying the same thing about Tyrone, and we've kind of forgotten about Mayo a little bit over the last little while. Mayo have beaten a better team in the semi-final, I think. I think if Dublin play Kerry...
No, I don't know.
Dublin maybe edge it at
Do
this
they?
Point.
I don't know.
Having seen what we've now seen, I think Dublin are still a bit ahead of Kerry. So I think Mayo have beaten the better team. They had to come from
That's
behind.
A little preview of the power rankings this week. Kerry getting dumped out of...
Just clinging on to their Champions League place in the top four. So, yes, there are mixed messages this morning and there might be a little bit of hypocrisy here, but I'm leaning towards Mayo.
Would Monaghan or Armagh beat Kerry in a one-off game in Croker at the moment?
Every chance that happens, yeah. I think that Tyrone are better than Monaghan and Armagh is the only thing. That football will get you so far. In football, it turns out that if Kerry managed to get their nose and their neck and their entire body in front of somebody, they'll win. But if it's just the nose they have in front of you, you'll reel them in.
All right. OTBAM is live and associated, brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. That is today's performance rankings.
OTBAM's performance rankings with Gillette.